Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm probably going to end up doing a lot of reading today. First of all, from the book The Psyche on page 102, came across an interesting passage here that kind of sums up the power of our thoughts. The power that the thinking uses as impetus does not stem from the human being, himself or herself. It streams in the spirit and from there into the consciousness, coming out of the unmeasurable expanses of space of the universe. So the power of our thoughts literally comes from the universe itself. It streams in the spirit and from there into the consciousness. I also wanted to talk about the term God, because the Meyer material does not use the word God. It uses the word creation. And let me read a few things that help to clarify that. That the word God, from this age-old and foreign language, has nothing to do with the slightest part to do with creation. And anyway, the word God comes from an old language, it says here. The word God, from time immemorial, has been used as a designation for human beings who, because of their spiritual and consciousness-based powers and their abilities resulting from them. Let me continue here a few paragraphs down. However, catastrophes, unfortune, war, etc., as well as slow degeneration over the course of centuries, also demanding their tribute from these gods, who subsequently slowly died out or wandered off and only still remained. Now, one of Billy's books, Omphale and Merodo, The Navel of Life in the Lyrian, talks and says the gods of the earth were humans and they were extraterrestrials who were here, who had great consciousness-based powers, and who, for various reasons, left or died or whatever. Now, I'm going to continue here. Out of these arose a god who was made responsible for all creation and who should personify the love. Only still lacking was the personification of evil in its naming. For that a few clever minds reached into the history of old Celts, who in the ancient time revered a Superman. Now the Superman, I don't know if he was an extraterrestrial, it doesn't say here in the book The Psyche, but he was called a Superman. And he was known as the God of the Hunt because he put in place his immense spiritual and consciousness-based powers for the benefit of the people of the Hunt. Ancient lores, etc., show that this god, who had two horn-like growths on his skull, was named Tubal. Upon his death, his position became personified by a Celt who, with a change of name, was called Tibal, and as a symbolization of the one named God, wore an animal skull with horns on his head, therefore imitating the Superman with his horn-like growths. Evidently, and sometimes on the earth, there was a man with these horn-like growths out of his skull who had spiritual and consciousness-based powers. But again, it doesn't say where he came from, if he was extraterrestrial or what. It just says he existed. Over the course of centuries and millennium, the name Tibal was changed countless times until the name Devil arose from it, a name that was seized upon by the young religions and in memory of the named Horned God. This is very interesting because if you study the name Jesus today, it seems to be somewhat of a transliteration of Iesus from either the Greek or the Latin, and some say it came from Yeshua in the Hebrew. And I've done previous shows about how the letter J didn't really exist in ancient times. So in the ancient world, they seem to like to change names quite a bit. So anyway, that's the origin of the devil. Now, at least according to Meyer information, I thought that was very, very interesting. There's quite a bit here in the psyche of interest. Let me read something that deals more with our thoughts that I thought was also very interesting. It says, what the human being has carried sufficiently long within their thoughts totally unconsciously releases within them the realm of consciousness direction, which like a perfect automatic mechanism unfolds and brings into effect the corresponding decisions and actions according to their inner nature. Consequently, it is not of great significance for the course and success in life which efforts are undertaken in a given case in order to take a given task or achieve goals once set. Rather, it is of greater importance the basic mental attitude, the life and task and goal are approached. So what it's saying here, it's more important your basic mental attitude when you go to undertake something. What's more important is your basic mental attitude than even the effort that you put into this, which is, I thought, a very, very significant thing. Again, one of the things that I think is the biggest problem that we have are repeating negative thoughts, repeating thoughts that run out of control. And a lot of times, we actually conjure up, let me read this, this will explain what I'm saying. Whosoever is continuously afraid of evil, mischance and other terrible things literally conjures them up until they strike and destroy him or her. With worries, only new worries are bred. So unfortunately, those things, those troubles that we have, that we struggle with, that we think continually about, sometimes we actually bring about the negative things that we don't want. So sometimes the challenge is really somehow getting to a negative or a neutral position on something. If something's happening that you don't like, if you can really just get to a neutral position on it, don't struggle against it so much. And in fact, our thoughts radiate outward from us. Listen to this. What the human being thinks radiates beyond his own aura and also influences the environment, such as people, animals, and plants. Radiated evil thoughts, worries, hatred, unsatisfaction. Unsatisfaction is a big problem. And so forth. All have a boomerang effect. So if you're unsatisfied with something, if you're putting out a negative, it's going to come back to you as a negative. It's going to come back to you. In which case, they will again inevitably strike the center of the thoughts with devastating gewalt, which is a brutality that's beyond brutality. Anyway, it's one of these German terms. Thus, it also happens with good thoughts, which then indeed wield a corresponding significant good effect. So really try to focus on bringing out neutral positive thinking where you can, because it comes back to you. If you're putting out negative, it's going to come back to you in a boomerang. Do not do that. Always put out balanced thoughts if you can. I wanted to talk a little bit about the secret societies, because the secret societies know about the power of thinking, and it's been hidden intentionally. So let me continue here. Under the punishment of death, They were forbidden to reveal their knowledge, their cognitions, and their abilities. Now, this is talking about abilities related to thinking and how these people in the secret societies know how to harness our thoughts. It says here, we'll continue. Even today, much of the unmeasurable knowledge of humankind, which has been collected over tremendous periods of time, is hidden in the inaccessible secret sciences and will be defended until the death of the Pope, the bigwigs, and those of the secret sciences who hold it hidden from mankind. If the knowledge in the secret sciences would be revealed, then religions and politics would be eradicated in the shortest possible time. The financial industry would disappear. War would go away, unpeace, hunger, and a whole host of terrible things that exist in the world today. So the power really is, you are the master of your own destiny. The power is in your thoughts. Good thinking leads to good feelings. Good feelings lead to good habits. And good habits lead to good circumstances in your life. You are the master of your own destiny. Contact Report 345 is extremely interesting. It's another one of these reports that kind of whacks you over the head in a way. Patah is talking to Billy. And evidently there's some background in this conversation, which I don't have all of the background. But evidently the Plearn have been exploring another universe, not our universe, the Dern, the ERN universe. Not the Tao universe, the universe that's our twin universe, where Asket is from, but some other universe. So the Plearn have finally gotten to a third universe, which I didn't know that they had until I read this contact. So Billy first makes a statement here. Of course I know, because Quetzal reported to me regarding this probe. They're talking about some probe that was sent out. However, he was of the opinion that your expedition was to last still a longer time. Now, however, start shooting briefly and succinctly. What arises from the foreign universe? So they found this foreign universe. They put a probe into it. You must be detailed, but just briefly and succinctly describe the most important events. We can talk about it later in detail, as you say. So Patah says, actually it appeared that we must extend our expedition several months, but then success arrived unexpectedly. First, after a many month-long search, we found a planet on which still wild humans lived, who were equipped with stone axes, stone spears, and stone knives. Thus, cavemen, respectively Stone Age men. So it talks about these Stone Age men on this planet who lived in huts and in caves. There were large primeval forests on this planet. There were 46 groups of these people, Stone Age people. Now, these people resembled the people of the Earth of about 6 million years ago. And in some of my recent programs, I've talked about how Earth humans, humans that evolved naturally on the Earth, started appearing. They evolved from primates about 9 to 12 million years ago. Now, as far back as 22 million years ago, we had extraterrestrial visitors, human beings who came here in spacecraft. But back to this foreign universe. So, they go on and talk about, while they were in this foreign universe, they came upon a small artificial object which was drifting in space. And they established that this probe, this artificial object, was created by intelligent life forms in this universe. And they calculated the flight paths of this probe, and they followed it for several months. And they came to a system that had a dozen planets and a central star, and two of the planets had developed and they were carrying higher life, it says here. And again, I'll read here. On one of the planets, the third, which was somewhat smaller than the Earth, and which was about 100 or 1.51 astronomical units distance from the Sun, and which traveled on its 677-day-long orbit around the star. Anyway, they're saying the year for this planet was 677 of our days. The day was equal to approximately 21 hours and 30 minutes. And in this planet, there existed no humans, but only higher animal life forms and of course, many kinds of vegetation. The second planet they found was larger than Earth, and it had three large island continents, which existed in a large saltwater ocean and were surrounded by a large number of smaller islands. And they talked about the size of these continents being very large, and they talked about the day being 22 hours, excuse me. So this was a very Earth-like planet in many ways, but it was about 50% larger than the Earth. Then it goes on and talk about civilizations here. The planet carried human civilizations. In fact, there were three different races, which consisted of diverse peoples who were of white, green, and blue color, adding to a total number of around 498 million human beings. So their population was in balance with their planet. Creational natural law there. Now we'll go back on, continue here, and see what else was here. Our clarifications, which carried out unobserved, without direct contact undertakings with the occupants, resulted in astonishing things. The populations of the three continents only had three different languages, each one with a uniform dialect. Although there were three races on this planet, they worked together in every aspect, medically, scientifically, technologically. Interestingly, they do not mix with each other in terms of marriage. So there was no marriages between members of different races. All three races had the same culture, the same state of knowledge in all things, and a medical science which was ahead of our medical science here on the Earth. They don't have any religions, they don't have any cults, but they have kind of a universal philosophy. And listen to what this says, which is based on the fact that all life and existence arises from a higher power, which is simply called the power by them. This is quite reverently observed, respected, and honored. However, it is not worshipped, and it is not venerated. The power constitutes for them all origin of life and all existence, which both comes to be and again passes away and again comes to be. And a unity and a duality is taught so that the material and the power, which lives in the material, passes away and again comes to be, while the material dissolves and changes into other material forms. And Billy says, well, this is practically the reincarnation of the spirit form. And the power would be then simply creation and at the same time the spirit form. Ptah says, so it is, just only with other terms as well, as also everything interpreted and understood by the occupants of the planet. Regarding these three races, still is to say that they are absolutely peaceful. And this is very interesting. They have no war. Wars are foreign to them. They have no hate. They have no criminality. And they are at a level of development that would be equivalent to how we here are on the Earth in 1968. Astonishing, it says. So these human beings are far ahead of the Earthlings. However, how is it then with a form of government, and that was Billy. So it says, and Ptah says here, each people decides totally on all interests, although a total representation of all three races exists, which is built in the form of an assembly of men and women, which has the highest authority to gain the required recognition of the peoples. So anyway, they don't have military, they don't have armed forces, they have no police, and they really have an ideal state. They don't have any kind of degenerations. They live, they don't burn benzene, they don't burn oil. They synthesize fuel, so they don't exploit the petroleum of their world in any way. So they synthetically make fuel from plants. They do community gardens. There is no cruelty to animals. Animals are slaughtered for food at times, but there's no kind of cruelty. Let me read here. There are economically useful animals kept and bred for work and for food purposes, though, however, any form of cruelty to animals is taboo. Flesh for food of humans is solely produced through breeding and the slaughtering of animals. Fruits, vegetables, and flesh of many diverse forms, as well as the necessary food items and required products of other kinds, are in abundant and plentiful. And from this follows that nowhere does famine exist. They have no famine at all. You know, people are not hungry on this world. All bodies of waters and forests, meadows, fields, marsh areas are healthy and completely intact. So they don't cut down the forests, they don't dry up their marshes or anything. Check out this. I thought this was great. The hunting of any wild game is taboo. I think that's great. Because game flesh is likewise also produced through breeding. Like this also is the case with fish flesh. These people, they live to be 128 years old. And it talks a little bit about how they bury their dead. And even that seems to be in line with the creational natural laws. Now here they say something which piques my interest, which I have to do some more research on. Oh, by the way, none of these races have any fear of death or dying, which I thought was very interesting. Okay, Billy says, so should it also be with us? You tell me now. You are only able really to reach this foreign universe because in your ancient data, you had the recordings of Henoch, H-E-N-O-K, at your disposal. Now, I believe Henoch is one of the incarnations of the spirit form of Nocodemian, the same spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer. Now, when I say Henoch, I'm saying H-E-N-O-K, not H-E-N-O-C-H, from the Henoch prophecies, who is another Henoch. So Billy says, so he's speaking about this universe, and he says, was Henoch perhaps already over there? And do you go back again soon? Ptah says, the recordings in accordance with certain things indicated that Henoch was actually in this foreign universe. However, we must first exactly still discover this, which a travel back in time will certainly be required. Precisely into the time when Henoch worked. So I guess I leave with a question there about Henoch and how he got there. So let me kind of review some of the concepts that I've discussed over the past few days. And I think it would be good to do that. There's a lot here. I'm going to play just a second of some nature sounds, maybe 15 seconds, and then we'll dive back into our study. Okay, welcome back to Ohio Exopolitics. We are in the endless Billy Meyer case, which has information on top of information, and it leads to a continued and more profound understanding of the universe that we live in. Now, I don't happen to have these notes with me right away here, handy. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some big picture things that we've discussed in the past few days. The Earth is located in one of the outer spiral arms of the Milky Way galaxy. And the Earth is actually a fairly old planet. We've been here 5 billion years in terms of being a solid planet. Now, just to put some perspective on things, Billy's spirit form, the spirit form of Nokodamian, is 9.6 billion years old. So it's older than our planet by about 4.6 billion years. The Pleiaren have watched this spirit form incarnate on the Earth as Enoch, also known as Henoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, which most people erroneously call Jesus, and Muhammad. And in this lifetime, Edward Albert Meyer, a farmer in Switzerland. However, this spirit form has incarnated as Nokodamian in the Lyrian constellation. Now, if you go to the constellation of Lyra, particularly if you go to the star Vega, you'll a star that's larger than our Earth and more luminous than our Earth. There were planets in the Lyrian constellation that had human life. And these people were space travelers 22 million years ago, very, very advanced. They didn't originate in the Milky Way galaxy. They came into the Milky Way galaxy prior to those 22 million years ago. These Lyrians, and the reason I mention them is because, again, Billy's spirit form also incarnated in that constellation on planets there. You know, one of the strange things about the Lyrian constellation, it has the Ring Nebula in it, which is also known as the Eye of God, or JHWH Mata. And this was a star that was destroyed by one of these kings of wisdom who was not so balanced in his thinking, was not so spiritual. So the spirit form Nokodamian incarnated in the constellation of Lyra and is now incarnating on the Earth. Now that is very unusual. That is typically not normal. There's only two ways that that can happen. Usually the planet you die on is the planet you incarnate on, and probably many, many times people will live out all their incarnations on the same world. Unless you travel in a spacecraft to another world, where if you die on that other world, you'll become part of the incarnations of that other world. So 9 to 12 million years ago, Native Earth humans, meaning people that had evolved, Homo sapiens that had evolved from primates, started appearing on the Earth 9 to 12 million years ago. However, 22 million years ago, about 10 million years before there were any naturally developing Earth humans, these Lyrians were here for a while, and they had a short colony that existed here for a while. Now, We also had humans visit the Earth about 6 to 7 million years ago. People from Oriental races, the Khitan and the Dniper people, Chinese, Japanese, they came here from a world on the other side of the Milky Way galaxy. In other words, our Milky Way galaxy has a central sun. And if you travel, if you could, and we can't, but if you had the technology and you could travel beyond the central sun to one of these worlds on one of the outer arms, probably on the other side of our galaxy, there were advanced people on a planet called Kudra. And they developed the technology to visit the Earth about 6 to 7 million years ago. At that time, when they landed on the Earth had one global ocean and a single landmass for a continent. And they settled in the northeastern portion. Now, unbeknownst to them, their ships started to actually corrode and deteriorate because of the Earth's atmosphere. And they lost the ability to lose their ships. And there were other problems that occurred as well. Because the Earth was still in a primitive state, probably volcanoes and earthquakes. Anyway, all those, I think there were 38,000 people who originally came here. All those people died out that came here in the ancient past. Now, if you go back 389,000 years ago, people from Lyra Vega came here again. And there were 1 to 2 million of them. And they developed colonies, and they lived here for a while, and they interacted with the native Earth people, who, my understanding, most of these native Earth people were dark-skinned. Some of the interactions were not lawful, and some of these Lyrians had violated their own rules and laws, and because of that, there was something called the Codex, which was kind of an agreement or a judgment that was passed down, where some of these Lyrians stayed behind and they entered into the reincarnational patterns of Earth. Well, there are currently, if you include the Lyrians, you include the people from Kudra who died here, you also got to include the people from Atlantis and Lemuria, who I believe here came from Beta Centauri, some of them. Other came from the Barnard Star. And the people who came here from Pelagon's whole group, which were here from the Pleiades star system. Anyway, the Meyer material says in the article called Attacking Questions from Japan that currently on the Earth, there are 219.8 million spirit forms on the Earth that are of extraterrestrial origin. So it is possible that if you're interested in this kind of show, in this kind of information, it could be because your spirit form is one of those 219 million. The second thing I think is important in terms of big picture understanding is that most human spirit forms on the Earth are 4 to 5 million years old. However, ones that came here from off-world could be between 8 and 12 million years old. So your spirit form, if you're one of the older spirit forms, is older than the people around you. So maybe then that helps you to understand it a little bit. Sometimes what can only be described as insanity or stupidity that seems to run so rampant on this world. Because we have people here from very different spiritual ages, from all different cultures, and it makes things very, very difficult in many ways. So even emphasizes the importance of learning to control your thoughts. Now, our consciousness is much like a tree. You could compare the evolution of your consciousness to a tree, because there is the part that people interact with and see and are visible, and there's also a part that is internal, an inner realm. Just like a tree has roots that are under the ground. And you have to go internally for you to find what the truth is. And the truth comes from our innermost thoughts, our innermost feelings, and our innermost contemplations. And we have to have internal and external growth to be balanced, just like a tree has to be balanced in its internal and external growth. And if a tree isn't balanced, it'll collapse in stormy weather. An imbalance is caused by a lack of proportion between things. Now, the reason this book was written, The Might of Thoughts, is because our humankind here on the earth is ill in their consciousness. And that was written in the dedication. It was written by Elizabeth Mooseberger. In 1991, Billy and Elizabeth Mooseberger saw a fantastic spectacle, which was described in Contact 239, in that they saw three disc-shaped UFOs that were each 300 meters in diameter. They exhibited a pulsating and rightward rotation and were of whitish color. They were three large spaceships from the neighboring Tau universe, and the ships were on an exploration and research flight in our universe, and they inspected the Semyase Silver Star Center. So, thinking independently, in order for your consciousness to evolve, you have to develop the ability to think independently. And it's very interesting that the focus of our society today seems to be to take people's ability of independent thinking away from them, so that people will not think independently, but will depend on the newspapers, the television, the radio, YouTube, the computer, the internet, whatever, to tell them what to think. Everything is pre-chewed on the television, the radio, and the internet. So there are really only a few people today who have their own thoughts. And it's hard to imagine that we actually live in a society where independent thinking is a rare thing. So, we need to focus on maintaining independent thinking. Let me read what Askett says. And Askett was Billy's second contact, lady from the Tau universe. The human is still not capable of coping with and fully understanding the truth. And he is not yet mature enough to know his future and to approach it correctly. For that reason, the truth must be rewritten prophetically for him as in equations in order to make him think independently. So there's something about the prophetic material in the Meyer case that stimulates people to think independently. One great movie that I recommend for everyone to watch is called Reincarnation in the Spirit Form, and you can find this out on YouTube, and it's by a man named Michael Udebrook of Figu, Canada. Take a look at that, Reincarnation in the Spirit Form. Put that in YouTube and look it up. Now, another thing about electronic media that I've learned recently is it's very dangerous to the evolution of your consciousness. It's very dangerous for your brain. It causes all kinds of problems with perception and intelligence. It reduces intelligence. Somehow it even affects our body, causes us to gain weight. It causes aggression. So as I'm speaking to you, I'm looking at my printed notes. So try to stay away as much as possible from the computer. Try to wean yourself on it. I think I'm partially addicted. I think many of us are. So, again, what is the spirit form? And this is a bit of a review in case there are any new listeners or new listeners that come up and listen to this at a later time. We all have a spirit form. All human beings have a spirit form. It's located in an area of the midbrain called the superior colliculus. It comes in at 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. And when that spirit form comes in, it radiates an energy throughout your whole body in a lattice structure. And that energy causes your heart to beat. It brings a consciousness evolution into the body of the child. Before that point, the child was evolving much like a plant does. It's on impulse evolution. Also, when the spirit form comes in, something called the consciousness block comes in. That's when your consciousness comes in too. So you get then a conscious mind, a subconscious mind, an unconscious mind, and you get memories, subconscious memories of your predecessor personalities. The wisdom in your predecessor personalities comes in to the child. We pick up the new life at the same point of evolution that we left off in the old life. Even though your material consciousness has to grow up and mature all over again. Remember, we have a material consciousness, which is the consciousness associated with the brain, the physical brain, and then we have a spiritual consciousness, which is what's associated with your spirit form. If you evolve in your current lifetime, then when you die, your spirit form will leave the body. It'll take with it the consciousness block associated with your with the life that you just had. That consciousness block, which is your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind, goes into this area in the spiritual realm, which your spirit form created. This area in the spiritual realm is called the overall consciousness block. And in the overall consciousness block, the previous information in your consciousness of your previous lifetime is processed and it's converted into what's of use for your evolution. You know, what you gained of wisdom, of patience, of love, and those kind of things is those evolutive forms are stored in your spirit form. Your spirit form gets strengthened by the evolution of your previous material life. And those literal experiences that you had that are significant are then when the new personality is created and the new consciousness is created, those things are retained and placed in your subconscious. Now, typically at the level of evolution that we're at now, we don't remember all of those things that were in our previous lifetimes. But in later evolutionary states, those memories will become more and more clear to us. Remember, there are 7 evolutionary steps that human beings go through. We here on Earth are in stage 2. We're still pretty low on the curve. Stage 3 is intelligent life. Stage 4 is real life. Stage 5 is life and creational wisdom. That's the king of wisdom. Now, the first 5 steps steps of evolution last about 42 million years. So if let's just say you're a 5 million year old spirit form here on the earth, you've got, you know, about 40 million years of evolution in reincarnating into a material physical body left. Now, after that fifth stage, you go into the sixth stage, which you're half material and half physical at this stage. Now, the humans that are in the half material and the half physical stage that I'm aware of are some people in the Andromeda Galaxy. The Pleiaron refer to these people as the quote-unquote High Council. They get advice from them. They're not under any obligation to follow this advice, but they do get advice from these people. They're practically spirit forms. They're not quite spirit forms yet. We spend many, many, many millions of years in that state. I don't know how many years. And then we go to the first stage of the pure spirit form after that, which is called Arahat-Ath or Asada. Now, the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer has been through all of those different stages. And he's come back. That spirit form has come back to teach the people of the earth again. In this incarnation, one of the major goals is to put the teaching of the spirit down in written form. Because in previous ages on the earth, it wasn't written down. And that's probably what led to a lot of the confusion in our religions. So again, I'm going to take a little bit of time here. I've got more time than I realize. I'm going to give a little more overview information about Billy's life. Somehow that seems to really click and help connect so many dots. You know, Edward Albert Meyer, he's a 78-year-old man. He lives in Switzerland in a little town called Hinterschmidt-Rudi. It's a tiny mountain village. It's very beautiful. If you see any films, there are some films out on YouTube now. They're all in German. You won't really understand what he's saying unless you're really fluent in German. He's speaking very quickly. But you can just see the surroundings, if nothing else. It's very green, very beautiful, very comforting kind of area. Billy's written 40 books. Now, that's what I've heard the people from Figu say. I've only had four of his books myself, four or five. The Might of Thoughts I've almost done with the third time. The Psyche I'm about halfway through studying this book again. His books are incredible. I mean, you could spend a lifetime trying to understand his books. Many, many of his contact notes have not been translated. There's probably 150 or 200 contact notes at least that have to be still translated. There's roughly right around 600 contact reports. They're like little booklets, like 345, which I was just reading parts of to you. For example, he started writing his contact reports, I think in the right around 75, when he first started having his initial contacts with Semyase. Now, you have to realize, when he was having these contacts with Semyase, he had already had 22 years of prior contacts. 11 years of contacts with Sloth, 11 years contacts with Asket. Then he had 11 years of no contacts. During that time, he had children and was married and was living somewhat of a normal life. And there's also a really good film. I'm sorry I don't have the URL for you. I discovered it maybe last night. It's a 2.5-hour film or something like that, where Billy is interviewed with some people from Japan. And it's very interesting to see him at a younger age, still with his beard. There's a I can't explain it, kind of a glow about the guy. You just have to see it for yourself. But they were talking about those, you know, these contacts that he was having with Semyase. So Billy would get this cooling sensation on his forehead, and he would drive out at some remote location, hide his moped, and then just wait. And then the ship would appear, it would land, and eventually Semyase would get out and come over and talk with Billy. And they'd have one, you know, one of these incredibly profound conversations. And she would have to leave, and she would leave, and Billy would drive back to the Semyase Silver Star Center. He would sit down at his computer and start getting the message back from the ship where Semyase was, from the computers in the ship, an exact word-for-word of what the conversation was, and he would type it out at 60 words a minute with one hand. And I think it was coming to him in kind of a symbolic language that he learned from Svoth when he was a very, very young boy. So that's how the contact notes started. Now later, at some point, Billy went back and wrote articles like How It All Began, where he talked about his experiences with as a small boy and some of the epiphanies that he had, where, you know, he would go out and wake up at 3 a.m. and go out and look at the beautiful stars and just have these incredible epiphanies. And he also went back later and wrote things like Svoth's Explanation, which was one of his meetings with Svoth, this 1,000-year-old extraterrestrial man who he talked with. Now, Billy's had 4 or 5 years of contacts with Semyase, and then she had a tremendous accident where she was startled by one of the people in Billy's group, and she hit her head, and it led to brain damage. And it's a long story. It's kind of a sad story. She's currently recovering in the Tao universe, and she'll have to be there for like 70 years to totally get over this accident. So in the last part of his life here, Billy's meeting with Quetzal and Ptah. And again, in contact report 345, and we were discussing earlier, he was talking with Ptah. Now, what's interesting about all these people, Ptah, Semyase, and to a degree Quetzal, and Asket, they're all somehow genetically associated with this Nokodamian lineage. Semyase is the daughter of Ptah. Svoth is the father of Ptah. Semyase is Svoth's granddaughter. I don't know how Asket fits in. I don't know how Quetzal exactly fits in. But it's really interesting that I believe the High Council told the Plearen that it might be a good idea to cut off the contacts in the late 70s when they were having so many problems. Fortunately, they haven't. And in part, they didn't because of this relationship that they have all with this lineage. And when I say a lineage, I'm talking about an incarnation of a spirit form. So there is kind of a family tree here, is what I'm trying to get at. So that's one of the reasons the contacts continued. The story is truly an amazing one, and it has implications which are really difficult to wrap your mind around at times. And it will help you in very, very many practical ways. When you start to learn to control your thoughts, which I think is one of the most challenging things for people to do, is to really control your thoughts. And when you master that, you really master a whole lot in life. Now, again, I wanted to just say a few things before we close the show about the human spirit form. And Semyase said it this way. She said, everyone has within them a spirit that does not sleep. It records all your thoughts and your impulsations. It does not die. It's the bearer of the creative realm. It will tell you when your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. It's the wonder of all wonders. It is connected in some way to the creation. And the thoughts, the power for the thoughts, stream out of the expanse of the universe and through the spirit form and into your conscious mind. The power of your thoughts is tremendous. The power of correct thinking, balanced thinking, will continually bring into realization everything that you desire, if you can learn to control them. The problem is, we have unconscious thoughts which spring up. And your unconscious thoughts can bring things into reality that you don't desire either. So you need to learn to steer your thoughts so you're steering that power that's streaming out of the universe in a way that benefits you rather than harms you. Because your thoughts can also harm you if they're not neutral, balanced. So that's the catch-22. Is learning to control your thoughts and be in neutral, positive state when you're exercising the power that's in your consciousness. And the power in your consciousness has to be used in a responsible manner. You know, that's one of the most profound teachings in the Maya material as well, is we are responsible for our thoughts, we're responsible for your own life. In fact, you're in control of your own life if you're steering your thoughts and if you're nurturing good thoughts. Because good thoughts lead to good feelings. Pay attention to your feelings, because your feelings will tell you if you've had good thoughts. Because good thoughts lead to good feelings. If you're having bad feelings, it's because you've had bad thoughts. If you're having feelings of worry and vexation, it's because you've had incorrect thinking. So go back, analyze your own thoughts, nurture those good thoughts so you can continue to have good feelings and good habits and good circumstances in your life. I appreciate you listening. We've got about a minute left on the stream. I want you to know that we're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we'll catch you next weekend. Good night.